Speaking about the Word of God, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Word. We ask that you would bless it. And as I prayed earlier today, that all of our hearts would be prepared to receive the Word of God. I know that there are some people that are watching online, and I think of Rosava right now while she's in so much pain and getting ready for that surgery on her thyroid, that you would just be with her and bring healing to her body. And to our sweet Carol, that your hand be upon her and bring healing to her as well, and so many others that are hurting. May you just utilize this live stream. But Father, for people who are able to come to church, your word says to not forsake the gathering of the brethren, as some have done in these end times. I pray that you would see the importance of being in fellowship one with another, especially you husbands taking on that spiritual role in leading your family to a fellowship that loves them and loves your word. Bless it. Use this fellowship to enhance the kingdom of God in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and if you don't have a Bible with you, go ahead, raise your hands. The ushers will get your Bible. And today we're going to be looking, we'll read Romans chapter 12, 17, verse 17 through 21. The title of this message is How to Act Towards Christians, or How to Act Towards Those Outside of the Church. In our last verses that we've been studying the last few weeks, we saw how we're to act towards the people that are inside the church. And now we see Paul the Apostle bringing us to the point in the text today of how we are to be looking and acting and should be acting towards those outside the church, not Calvary Chapel, but outside the saving knowledge of Christ. And in the text, Paul's still going to throw in some Christians as well. Now, I thought we were going to get through all of this, all of these verses, but after getting going, I realize it's not going to happen. But I want to read the entire text to you so you can see what it's referencing. So, verse 17 through 21. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, let's bounce back to verse 17, where it says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. In other words, it's saying, don't pay back when somebody treats you evil with evil. Jesus has explained so many things to us about our daily life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, In verse 33, listen to what he said. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. I don't know about you, but I want to have peace in my life. So for me to find peace, I need to find it in Christ, not in people. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Bad things are going to happen to us. And many times we did nothing to cause it to happen. Remember a while back, it was really kind of unfortunately popular where somebody, typically an older person, would be walking down the street, or even a female, and somebody would run up behind them and bam, and hit them at the top of the head and knock them out, and they'd fall down. Many of them had to go to the hospital. Many of them had concussions. They were just walking down the street. Well, found out that many of these people that were doing that, it was an initiation to get into their gang to do that. Those are evil things that happen, and you didn't have any cause in causing it to happen. Just the other day, I believe it was in Chicago, I could be wrong there, there was a young man that was standing in his front yard talking to his friend. Just talking to their friend. And all of a sudden, there was gunshots heard. Turned out that one gang was shooting at another gang, and one of the bullets hit that young man just standing in his yard, and he died on the spot. And his mama had to see her loved son just die right there in front of her. How sad that is. Oh, it can be things that are small, that can kind of irritate you. I remember this was a while back, that within just a matter of a couple weeks, there were two windows in cars that we were connected with that were broken out. One of them was in our driveway. As you know, we have a driveway that goes forward and then a side part of the driveway. Well, the side part of the driveway, somebody was visiting us. They parked there. Turned out that some kids drove by, threw a bolt out their car window, hit their car window, and smashed it. Found the bolt inside, and that's how we knew that happened. Another time, just within a week or two, it was when this property was barren, and we were looking at buying it, and we put in our offer, and it was accepted, and somebody wanted to see where it was. So I took them over, and I had a cougar, a white cougar. I gave it to my daughter, Leah. She hated it, but I loved it. I liked that white cougar a lot. Well, we pulled off. We had to put in the extra lanes over here, and so there was still a lot of dirt you could just pull by. So we just pulled off and stopped right in front. And all of a sudden, a car going the other direction did something because we couldn't find it on why. But the window was shattered. And this fellow was sitting right next to that window and got a window broken bath. I mean, it just shattered all over him. So my first thought was, is he okay? Is he okay? I mean, that glass is flying everywhere. Could have gone in his eyes. Are you all right? Are you all right? He goes, I think so. Well, we don't know how that one was caused. We know when it happened. We knew that somebody drove by, and as soon as they drove by, whether they shot a BB gun at it or whatever, a pellet gun, we could never find a BB or a pellet or a bolt or anything, but we knew that car had done it. Within a couple weeks, two windows were smashed out of cars that were connected with us. We didn't do anything. We were just sitting there. Well, Marcy and I were able to finally go on to a vacation one time, and we got a phone call, and they said, your house was being robbed. And they actually took my white Cougar, they backed it up, and they got the axle stuck because we put railroad ties around that portion from the sidewalk to the street that you can plant things in, and we put railroad ties in there. And the axle got tied up, and so the wheel was spinning and screeching. And the neighbor, Todd Hunt, was living in the house next to us, came out, and they jumped out and started running. Well, we didn't do anything to get ransacked. And when I mean ransacked, I mean ransacked. Every single drawer in the house is dumped out. The mattresses were overthrown. The closet clothes were thrown on the ground. They were going through everything. They stole two rifles I had, a 309 and a single shot 22. Never got recovered the 309, but I found out that they had arrested these kids that were driving around in a car, and they got ratted out so that the person that robbed our house told them about these other guys that got the single shot 22. They're just driving around shooting at houses and cars and different things. And they would tell them that if they could have a reduced penalty. Well, they never charged them for robbing our house. I wouldn't even let Marcy come home until we got all the drawers put back together, and it didn't look like that. And the only thing I can think about on where they got that information, because it was not hotwired. I know what it's like to hotwire a car. I had to do it once. I didn't do it to steal it. I was teaching a group of students off of Point Loma, and one guy wanted to adjust his scuba tank, and he hit his weight belt tank, which was my custom weight belt, and it popped off him, and he went shooting to the surface and screaming. I was on top of the boat. I had the keys to my car in my pocket. I dove in and swam over, but by diving in like that, the keys are to this day still at the bottom of the ocean. Along with my weight belt, I never got replaced. Well, I saved the kid, brought him back, and then I started looking for the keys. Couldn't find the keys, so I didn't know what to do, so I went down by the ignition, I pulled the wires out, and I started clicking, the car started. So I knew what it would look like if it was hot-wired. The only thing I could think about is that I had my car washed right across the street on the corner where this car wash was at. They did it all by hand. In those days, you had to display your address. You couldn't hide it. The only thing I can think of is they took my keys, had them duplicated, had my address, and was able to get into the house, because in conversation over there, they heard me say that we were going on vacation. So they knew it was an easy target. That's why I don't tell you people when I'm going on vacation, because I know you'll go and hit the easy target. Just teasing on that part, but I don't announce that because of that one reason. Well, we didn't do anything to be ransacked. That wasn't something that we planned on having happen to us, but it did. And this is just one of many things, and you folks have faced many things as well in your life that you didn't cause, but yet it still was there. And the word here that we see in Romans 12, the King James version says, not to recompense evil for evil. Well, the word recompense in the Greek literally means this: taking thought in advance, to think beforehand, to recompense evil in return. In other words, you're planning it out. When evil happens to you by people you don't know, or sadly, by people you do know, don't spend time thinking of ways of how to get back at them, because that will destroy you, and it could very easily hinder you from achieving God's plans, as we'll see later on in these verses. And so the first thing he says, if evil has happened to you, don't think of evil that you can give back to them. The second thing in this one particular verse, it says, have regard for good things in the sight of all men, to provide things honest, the King James Version, to provide things honest in the sight of all men. The Greek language is an amazing language. It actually has two words for honesty, for being honest. The first one refers to the intrinsic good. In other words, the good that is inside of you. That's number one. The second one, kalos, in the Greek, is the exterior goodness. This goodness is seen on the exterior of one person's life. It is the outward expression of the inward actions of this person. I'm sure you've heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. What's that mean? Literally, what's that mean? If you take it in its fullness, it's meaning this. This is having a sincere honesty, that's actions, as part of your personality. If you have it, people really won't care that much about your view of eschatology, the view of end times. They won't care that much because they know you're an honest person. They won't care if you're Calvinist or Arminianist. They won't care if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit or baptized in lemon juice, as long as they can see that trustworthiness and that honesty in your life. Now, did you notice it said this? To all men, to all mankind. Not just the ones that are outside the church, not just the ones that are inside the church, but to all mankind. We should have this honest report for all of mankind, along with people who don't even know the Lord. They should say there's something different about that person. You know, I honestly believe the worst indictment a believer can have is if someone says about them and they call themselves Christians. That is really bad. When a Christian says that about a Christian, that's even worse. But when a non-believer says that about a Christian, that's just flat out a shame. Should never, ever happen. Our lives, our actions should be the same towards all men. I read a commentary about a deacon who worked for a church, and he had this to say about the pastor. He is a great teacher in the pulpit with his sermons, but out of the pulpit, I cannot believe the things that are coming out of his mouth and the way that he lives his life. When our kids moved back to Texas, they happened to be going to this rather large church at first. And what took place is, from the pulpit, the man looked phenomenal. They had churches growing in different places that he would place his family members over it. And it was just spreading everywhere. But then something happened. And then all of a sudden they began looking at the books. And this pastor was embezzling millions of dollars to buy personal ranches for himself. What a sad thing. Our kids just sensed something was not right about 6 months before this was revealed, and they felt they needed to leave. And they left, and then that came out. And that was just the discernment that God was giving them that. So, did they go to a Calvary Chapel? Got a text one day from them. We found a great church. Looks like we're Baptists now, Dad. And I said, that's awesome. As long as they're teaching the Word of God. And she, our daughter, had a personal talk with the pastor. And he said, don't let other people know, but I kind of line up with the Calvary Chapel, you know, viewpoints on all of these matters, but we're still Baptists. We, you know, that's what our corporation calls us, so. And it was great. I've been able to go to their Sunday school classrooms. My son-in-law is going to a 6 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday Bible study, and I wanted to go with him just incognito. You know, not a pastor or anything, just, you know, but you can only go to that Bible study if you're invited, and because there's only so many chairs in his upper room where he has it at. And so I just went in and I sat down and everyone, you know, was ready to go, and my son-in-law says, this is my father-in-law, Pete Malinger. Oh, and by the way, he's been a pastor for almost 50 years. I just wanted to be one of the guys. But at the end of it, they said, anytime I'm back there, that I'm more than welcome to go. They were reaching out to me, as we should reach out to other people as well. Well, this man in Texas got arrested. So, even though he was great in the pulpit, his actions that he lived his life were not good. So the question I think that we need to ask ourselves, not a question of being condemned, but as King David said, Lord, search my heart and know my way. And if there be any wicked way in me, show me, and then lead me to the path of righteousness. So we need to ask ourselves, what does our lives look like to people that are outside the church? Are you one of those Christians that when the cashier gives you change back and they give you more than you deserve, that you go, thank you, Jesus, because now I can take this extra blessings and go to the movies? You do that? Or do you do what I did? And I shared this with you already, but for those that may not have heard, I went for the truck and ordered four tires. They only had two in. And he said, "You want to pay for all four?" I said, "No, because something could happen to me. You never know." And then where the new tires, no one would know what's going on. So I'd rather just have you order them, and when they come in, then I can come back and pay for the other two instead of paying for all four right now. He goes, "Okay, I'll make a big note here." So they called me, the tires were there. I went down, waited my time. They put the two new tires on, so that means now I have four new tires because they were ready to be replaced. And then they call your name, and I reach for my wallet, and they say, "Well, it looks like you don't owe anything." And I say, "No, I owe you for two tires." "No, look right here, it says zero balance, you're paid in full." I go, "No, I'm not. I paid for the first two tires, ordered the second two, but have not paid for those." "Well, sir, I am sorry, but it says you don't owe anything." So I said, "Okay, let's all go to the movies." No, I did not say that. I did not say that. I said, "I owe you for two tires." And by this time, everyone that was in Discount Tires was listening to the conversation. And I turned around to all the people and I said, "Bet you don't hear about that very often when people are arguing that they owe money, huh?" And everyone shook their head, "No." And finally, we got it figured out. And I said, "See, I owed you for two tires." And he said, "What church you go to?" I said, "You know why I did that? Because that would please the Lord. By me not taking that, you know, bill and not paying anything wouldn't please the Lord, and I couldn't feel good about that. I want to please God." And he asked me what church I went to, and I told him. And so I could have easily walked away not paying, but that's not the right thing to do. Now, what takes place? Those people in that Discount Tire, they actually got to see somebody standing for the name of Jesus. And they don't even know who I was. And I think that's the way it should be, that we will stand for Jesus regardless if people know who we are or if they don't know who we are. So we want to please God. How do we get to that spiritual attitude that we will do that? It's desiring to fulfill which verse? Revelation 4:11, because we were created to bring him pleasure. And if you have that hard attitude, then this internal good will just naturally come out in your actions towards all men. And so we need to pray and ask, "Am I living a life that's pleasing to you towards all men?" Now, this next verse, this can be very difficult verse sometimes, very hard to do, but it's not impossible if we walk in the Spirit. Now, I'm sure you heard me talk about walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. You've heard me say that a lot. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? We don't have to come up with a definition of it on our own, because Paul the Apostle to the church of Galatia, there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, and it says this, but before I do that, as I read this to you, Ask yourself if you are doing any of the things of the flesh that Paul lists. And if you're able, if you're doing these things in the flesh, ask yourself, am I able to walk in the Spirit at the same time? Because if you're living in the flesh, are you able to walk in the Spirit? So Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, the definition of walking in the Spirit. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, ask yourself this question, guys. Don't go, oh, I didn't do the top three, so I'm clear. Ask about any of these things. Now the work of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, putting anything before God, sorcery, using drugs, not the way God has intended, hatred. And let me just pause here for just a moment about your pastor's wife. If anybody has the right to feel hatred towards somebody, she has been under attack by a certain situation that she could easily slip into that. But instead she goes, no, I can't do that because that doesn't please the Lord. The attack upon her has been atrocious outside the church. Not even connected to a different church. Just nothing that she did is what she was accused of. And as a result, she has not developed hatred. But I pray for them because I know that's what God wants. You should be very proud of her. Contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, listen to this, everybody, focus in, that those who practice, the word practice there is do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a heavy verse. I'm a Christian, but I'm doing all these things. And it says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Have you gotten your priorities out of order to where you are actually doing something that you know is not pleasing to God? You know it's not pleasing to God. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And now he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, greatness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. When I read this, I just see a picture of a cross and the fleshly parts of a human being or myself or of you or anybody else. We should picture ourselves taking that thing that is pulling us away from God and putting it on the cross and just nailing it there and leaving it there. And that's what Paul is saying, crucified the flesh and its passions and its desires, fleshly desires, should be nailed to the cross. And then he goes on and he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Can you walk in the Spirit and live fleshly things? I don't think so. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is very clear. You are either are walking in the flesh or you are not walking in the flesh. You are either walking in the Spirit or you're not walking in the Spirit. Let me tell you, there is no in-betweens. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. And that's between you and Jesus and what he has for you. So I want you to focus in on yourself this week and ask yourself this question. Didn't think when you go to church you're going to get homework, huh? You thought when you finished school you didn't have any more homework. But I give homework in this church. And that is the question you need to ask. Am I being led by the Spirit of God, or am I being led by my flesh in the things I do? Because if you are being led by the Spirit of God, it will be much easier to take the exhortations that Paul, from the last couple of studies he's given us, today's study, and the next studies that we will have coming up in the next few weeks. And then in verse 18, it says, if it is possible, here's verse 18, the next one. This one almost seems impossible at times. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all means. This does not mean you're a doormat. This does not mean you let people walk all over you and stomp all over you. But it means, if it is possible, and you're not a doormat, try to live peacefully with all men. So you have some homework to do. Not just 1 hour this next week, but every day this week. And that is asking yourselves, am I walking in the Spirit right now, or am I walking in the flesh right now? Are you willing to do that? Ooh, it's silent. So silent. Are you willing to do that? If you're willing to do that, if so, God will bless you in your walk, because you'll be walking in the Spirit. If you're not willing to ask those questions, then ask yourself this. Why am I not willing to ask myself if I'm walking in the Spirit or if I'm walking in the flesh? Ask yourself those questions. And the reason I want to give you this homework is very simple. It's because I love you guys very much. And I want the best for you. And that this little, step of homework is a small, small step in pleasing God. But you're heading in the right direction. You do want to please him, don't you? Again, that's pretty quiet. You do want to please him, don't you? Yes. Then my prayer for you is this. Do it and be blessed this week as God shows you when you're walking in the Spirit and when you're walking in the flesh. When you're walking in the Spirit, thank him, praise him, exalt him. When you're walking in the flesh, ask him to forgive you. And maybe ask the person that you've offended, if you're walking in the flesh, to forgive you as well. Because God wants the very best for you, even more than I could possibly get and give unto you. So my prayer is that you'll walk in the Spirit this week. Amen? Amen. Well, let's go ahead and close in prayer. I told you we weren't going to get through all those verses. Man of my word. So, Father, we want to come to you. And if there are areas in any of our lives that we know that we're walking in the flesh, Father, show us right now. Just as King David said, search his heart. And then show him so that he can walk a path that's pleasing to you. If we're walking according to the flesh, may you deal heavily with us until we come to that point, Father, that we say, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit and bring you pleasure. And the first way to walk in the Spirit and to bring him pleasure is to give your whole life to him. So if you've never done that, pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me of the sins in my life, those things that hurt your heart but hurt other people's hearts. I ask that you would take away that sin from my life and give me a fresh start, because I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, because you paid for my sins on the cross. I am set free from those things and now have you as a leader and my guidance. So I accept you as my Savior. I accept you as my Lord, and all the days of my life, I want to bring you pleasure, and I want you to be my very, very best friend of all, now and throughout eternity, in Jesus' name. And Father, for us who are Christians, if there's anyone here that is, but you're walking in the flesh, you pray, Jesus, forgive me. Take these crazy thoughts away from my mind that it's okay to live in the flesh and still bring happiness to God. So cause me to walk in the Spirit that would bring you pleasure. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.